Evet. Beginning Be'ezus Hashem Yisborach, Daf Lamed Vov Omed Beis. Have a look. We began this sugya last time. As we know, as we're coming towards the Mishnah now, since the very last Mishnah, we have been talking about all the differences between Dine Momonos and Dine Nefoshes. And there's a whole lengthy list in the Mishnah. So on the third line of the Gemara says, Omar Rebavohu says Rebavohu, Asara Devarim Yesh Bein Dine Momonos Le Dine Nefoshes. There are 10 different halachas in total that are mentioned in that Mishnah. Differences between Dine Nefashis and Dine Momonos. V'kulon, however, ein noyagin b'sheir haniskal chutz me'esrim v'shloisha. Now we said this last time. Let's briefly review. Halacha of sheir haniskal, as we know, is that a sheir that kills somebody must itself be killed by stoning. That's the halacha of the Sheir HaNiskal. Now, surely that should not be considered a case of Dinei Nefoshes, rather Dinei Momonos, a person's property. The Sheir has to be killed. And indeed, that's exactly what the Gemara is telling us, that we treat it, for all intents and purposes, like Dinei Momonos. There is, however, one exception, and that is with regard to the size of the Beis Din. And that's with regard to the size of the Beis Din. Normal Dine Momonos, as we know, suffices
Thank you so much.
with three Dayanim. And so I would have, huh? Thank you. So I would have thought that the same should be true also for Sheir HaNiskal. And yet, if you remember, we once had a drasha. We compare the killing of the Sheir HaNiskal, and we compare that to the killing of the owner of the Sheir. So just like if ever we would need to kill the owner, certainly we would require 23 Dayanim. So too, when we kill the Sheir, you need 23 Dayanim. So that is the only halacha that Sheir HaNiskal adopts the status of Dinei Nefoshes. But with regard to all other halachas, Sheir HaNiskal is Dinei Momonos. So if we have a list of 10 halachas, with regard to 9 out of 10, we treat the killing of a Sheir HaNiskal as Dine Momonos, with the only exception being with regard to how many Dayanim, in fact, do you need on the Beis Din. With regard to that, we treat it as it were, like Dine Nefoshes, and therefore you would require 23 Dayanim. That is what Rebavohu is pointing out. That we saw last time, says the Gemara, Mino Hanamili. How indeed we know this halacha to be true? So the Gemara learns it from a pasuk. Omar Rav Acha bar Papa da Omar Kro, Loi Sate Mishpot Evyoincha Berivoi. That is the lashon of the pasuk. Do you remember? I'm sure everybody does. That one of the fundamental differences between Dine Nefoshes and Dine Momonos is what type of majority do you need? In the case of Dine Momonos, even the most slender of majorities, so if you have three Dayanim on the Beis Din and two versus one, is considered an acceptable majority. But in the case of Dine Nefoshes, there, in order to incriminate him, to be Mechayev Misa, a majority of one does not suffice. So if you'd have 12 versus 11, that would not be sufficient. What would you do? You'd add extra Dayanim to the Beis Din, etc., etc. That is learned from a pasuk of Loisate Mishpot Evyoincha Berivoi, for which we learn Mishpot Evyoincha Iatomate. If you're dealing with your Mishpot of your fellow man, that cannot be decided on a very wafer-thin majority. Aval atomate mishpot shel sheir haniskal. You can, however, decide the halacha of Sheira Niskal on a very slender majority. So what do I see from there? That we see quite clearly that even though in the case of Dine Nefashos, you cannot have a small majority of one, but we have a drosha telling us that no, with regard, however, to Shoira Niskal, it's different. There, even the smallest majority will suffice. Now, we have to ask Rabbi Isai a very important question. We have a posuk, it's true that we learned much earlier on in the Masechta, that a Shoira Niskal needs 23 dayonim. Okay, granted. We also have a posuk, as we've just quoted, that you can suffice with a very small majority. Okay, granted. What about all the other halachas? All the various other halachas in the Mishnah, how we do absolutely everything to try and save the person. And that's why we don't finish the din today. And that's why we spill it over to tomorrow. And that's why they can't backtrack. And that's why you begin from the cotton, etc., etc., etc. We don't have any psukim with regard to those halachas telling us how we treat Shoira Niskal. All I've got is one single solitary pasuk that says, with regard to the specific halacha of what type of majority do you need? So it's true. In the case of Shoira Niskal, a very tiny majority is sufficient. Okay. So with regard to that halacha, I do have a clear pasuk, but I don't have a clear pasuk with regard to all the other halachas. So how did Rabbi Avohu know that for all the halachas, besides for the 23 dayanim rule, Shoira Niskal is always treated like Dine Mominus? We only have a pasuk for one halacha, not for the other eight or nine. So look at Rashi. Rashi answers this question. Look at Rashi on about the eighth or ninth or tenth thin line. Loi sater, do not veer the judgment, lera'a, to consider him guilty, al pi eidechot. Avol atomate lechoiva din hashoir, al pi echot. But you can adjudicate the halacha, incriminate the Shoira Niskal, even with a majority of just one. Fine. Says Rashi, umehocha gomir lekulum. It is from this pasuk that we extrapolate all the other halachas, deloy nahigi, to say that they do not apply to Shoira Niskal. Just like this halacha did not apply to Shoira Niskal, you don't need a big majority. Even the tiniest majority will suffice. So to all the other halachas also don't apply. How do I know? Chutz michov gimel. Besides the halacha that you need 23 dayanim, how do you know, says Rashi, umistabra? Because logic tells us the hekesh lahochi osi, that the hekesh is coming to teach you this halacha, that what? Shehu iker adin. Remember, we had a hekesh that compared the shoir to its owner. Treat the shoir like you would treat the owner. Just like the owner, if ever he would stand up for judgment with regard to nefoshes, you would require 23 dayonim. So to over here as well, require 23 dayonim. That's what we're using the hekesh for. Now, how do you know the hekesh has to be used for that? Maybe the hekesh would now compare the shoir to the bailim with regard to all the other halachas. Says Rashi, no. Logic tells us that it's only for that halacha. But we have no agenda to try and save the shoir. Shehu ikka hadin v'tchilose. That's the main halacha, how many dayanim. So that's what I use the hekesh for. Aval kulu. But all the other halachas that we learned over the course of the last few weeks, how we do absolutely everything in order to save the individual from facing the death penalty. Inach lahatzola asi. All of the others are coming for Hatzalah. They're trying to save him. Uma lanu lochus al shoir hamod. Why would we need to have compassion for a dangerous wild animal that kills. To the contrary, mutav lekayem boy ubi ar tohara. It would be better to fulfill the pasuk that says, eradicate from within your midst this evil. And therefore, we're not going to use the hekesh to teach me, do whatever you can to save the shoyer. To the contrary, why would I need to save the shoyer? In the case of an individual, a human being. So of course, we have absolute compassion on him and we will do everything we can to try and save his life. But that's not the case with regard to a shoyer amud. In the shoyer amud, we have no interest, we have no agenda to try and save him. And therefore the only halacha, the only single halacha that we treat him like a human being is with regard to how many dayanim you need, i.e. 23. But with regard to all other halachas, how do we treat him? We treat it like regular dinei momonos, no reason to have compassion, and therefore all the other 9 halachas, Shera Niskal is treated like dinei momonos. Back into the Gemara. Says the Gemara, Asara, ha, tes, havu, question mark. Why did Rav Avohu say that there are 10 halachas in total? If you count them up, you'll see in the Mishnah that there were not 10, there were actually only 9. Says the Gemara, it's not true. Ha, asari, ketani, there are 10. Look at the Mishnah, count them up one by one, and you'll see there are 10. So what's the question over here? Why are you telling me there's only 9? No, there's not. There really are 10. Rav Avohu was correct. Says the Gemara, no, what I meant was that 2 of the halachas are really the same. Mishum de'ein ha'koil k'sherim. Ve'esrem v'shloisha chodahi. There are 2 halachas mentioned in the Mishnah, but if you think about it, essentially they're one. We have a halacha, which by the way, we're coming to in a moment. Ein ha-koil k'sherin. Who is kosher to be a dayan? What are the qualifications? We don't mean with regard to competence, that we've already learned the halacha. We know what type of dayan, how competent he has to be. That's not what we're discussing. Rather, we're discussing what type of Jew. A Kohen, a Levi, a Mamza, a Geir, that we'll see coming up. So it says that with regard to Dinei Nefashos, we are stricter regarding who can be a Dayan. That's one halacha. There's another halacha with regard to Dinei Nefashos. You've got to have 23 Dayan, as mentioned before. Is that 2 separate halachas or is that the same halacha? So we would surely think that obviously that's 2 separate halachas. The Gemara is saying, no, 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 no. Really, there's a tremendous common denominator between those 2. Look at Rashi. Ha'tisha have v'hoda parachinon. We're soon going to ask, at kaftin v'hoyutinan b'masnisa. Really, there are 10. Va'oman, the Gemara explains, no, haida kashilon test, that which we are difficult and we're calling it 9, is because mishum de'ein ha'koil k'sherin, comma, ve'esrim v'shloisha, chodahi, is all one halacha. It's not 2 separate halachas. Why are we considering it one halacha? So Rashi explains. D'mai taima mamza posel midinei nefashois. Why indeed is a mamza, somebody who's born out of wedlock, why is a mamza, or from Aroyas, why is a mamza possible from being a dayon in Dinei Nefoshes? The answer is, Mishum debeinon chof gimel. It is precisely because you need 23 dayonim for the Bezdin, dayon of Sanhedrin, and we have a special requirement in Sanhedrin. They've got to be similar to you, of good pedigree. So there is a special halacha in a Sanhedrin. 3 people, by the way, may be able to form a Bezdin, but that's not a Sanhedrin. A Sanhedrin is 23, And it is with regard to a Sanhedrin that it says that Dayanim have to be of good pedigree. So do we now therefore understand that these two halachas are essentially one? When it says that a mamzer cannot be a dayan, and it says we have 23 dayanim, that's the same halacha. It's precisely because you need 23, that's why you can't have a mamzer. And that was the question of the Gemara. Why is Rav Avol telling you that there's 10 halachas altogether? It's true that there are 10 mentioned in the Mishnah, but two of them are really the same thing. And it's not two separate halachas. And if it's not two separate halachas, it comes out that how many actually are there in total? There really are 9. So why is Rav Avol calling it 10? Yes, everyone's following? Kasha makes sense?
Yes.
This halacha that a mamzer can't be a dayan is a direct manifestation of the fact that you need 23. 23 forms not just a bezdin but a Sanhedrin, and then our special requirements for a Sanhedrin. Says the Gemara, you're right. The reason why I said 10 is because there's another halacha. Look at the Gemara. Says the Gemara, ha'ika achriti. Because there actually is another halacha. What is the another halacha that now rounds it up to 10? The Tanya, because we have another halacha that says, Ein Moishivin b'Sanhedrin Zokein. You cannot put on the Sanhedrin a very elderly person, Vesoris, or somebody who's incapable of having children, or Misha Ein Loi Bonim, or somebody who does not have children, even if in theory he's capable. Why not? Why can an elderly person, or somebody who's incapable of having children, or somebody who doesn't have children, why is he possible from being a Dayan? So look at Rashi. An incredible Rashi. Says Rashi, Zokein, Sheshochach Kvar Tsar Gilbonim. A person becomes elderly. He's had to educate his children so long ago that he's forgotten what it's like. Ve'einoi Rachmoni, and doesn't therefore have the middah of Rachmonos. Ve'chein Sris, and so too also somebody who cannot have children. An incredible halacha. A requirement to be a dayan, at least for dinei nefoshes, and this is therefore the extra 10th halacha, is that a person has to have the mid of Rachmonos, and he only truly has the mid of Rachmonos through Tsar Gidel Bonim. When a person has children, and it's a big challenge on occasion, that develops the mid of Rachmonos. So if a person either doesn't have children, or did, but he's now 98, so he hasn't been involved in educating his children for many years. He's forgotten what it's like, and he's therefore lost the middah of Rachmonos. An unbelievable halacha, which therefore is unique, therefore, to dinei nefashis. As we've always seen, it's only in the case of dinei nefashis that we require that the dayan should have Rachmonos. Not in the case of dinei nefashis. And therefore, this, in fact, is the 10th and final halacha. Says the Gemara in conclusion, v'chilufeihen b'meisis. It's the exact opposite in the case
of... Lift out the S, Corey.
Sorry?
As the...
Yes, sorry, I missed out. Rabbi Yehuda Moisef af achzori. Rabbi Yehuda was Moisef, so too, a person who was just naturally cruel. Even if he does have children and he's young, but if he has a middah of cruelty, then he is disqualified from being a dayan on a bezdin, in the case of dinei nefoshes. However, says the Gemara, v'chilufein b'mesis. But the opposite is true in a mesis. What's a mesis? A mesis is somebody, as we've learned early on in the Masechta, who goes around causing others to be oivad avodah zara, and we have zero compassion on a person like that. Do not have compassion, do not try to conceal. We don't have any rachmanas for a person like that. And therefore, all the halachas that we said before, how we go out of our way to have rachmanas on somebody who is standing the death penalty, it does not apply to dine mesis. If somebody is a mesis, then to the contrary, we adopt all the halachas of dine mamonas. We can paskan halacha on the same day. We can begin with the begadol, and you can have a majority of one, and you don't need to spill the judgment till tomorrow, and they can't backtrack, etc., 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 etc. So we have no rachmanas on somebody who is a mesis. Scary halacha. Okay, Rabbi Isai, with this now we're beginning the next piece of Gemara. Hakoil, Ksherin, Lodun, Dine, Momonos. What does that mean, Hakoil? Everybody is kosher for Dine, Momonos. What does that mean, everybody? Including who? The word Hakoil always comes to include somebody. Says the Gemara, Hakoil, Ksherin, Lodun, Dine, Momonos. Hakoil, La'asuye, Mai. What is that word, hakoil, coming to include? Says the Gemara, la'asuye omar of Yehuda, la'asuye mamza. It's coming to teach me that even a mamza, who is disqualified, as we're going to see in a moment, from being a dayan in the case of dinei nefashos, but he's kosher, however, in the case of dinei momonos. That's the chiddush of our Mishnah. The Mishnah is teaching us that a mamza is allowed to be a dayon in the case of dinei momonos. Says the Gemara, haven't we learned this already? Hotanina chada zimna. Haven't we learned this elsewhere on another occasion? Where? Says the Gemara, we've learned in another brayse, it says, Kol ha-ra'u lodun dinei nefashos, ra'u lodun dinei mamonos. It says, anybody who is eligible to paskin dinei nefashos is also eligible for dinei mamonos. However, v'yesh ra'u lodun dinei nefashos, v'ein ra'u lodun dinei nefashos. But in the opposite direction, it could well be that somebody is kosher for momonos and is not kosher for nefashos. And what is that? Vehevinon bo la suye mai. And we ask, what is that coming to include? V'omar of Yehuda la suye mamza? Question mark. So that statement, which is actually a statement in the Chav Zayin on the base, the Gemara explains that that over there is teaching us there's a difference between momonos and nefashos, that a mamza is not kosher for nefashos, but he is for momonos. So why do I need to be taught the same thing in our Mishnah? The Hakoil, everybody is kosher for Momonos. Even who? Well, even a Mamza. Okay, we know that already, don't we? That's the Kasha. Says the Gemara. No. I have these two statements and each one is actually teaching us something else. I have chada la'asuye geir v'chada la'asuye mamza. We're going to see later on, Rabbi Isai, that dine nefasha is actually has two exceptions, not just one. A mamza is invalid and so too a convert. So I need therefore two statements teaching me that when it comes, however, to the case of dine momonos, both a geir is kosher and also a mamza. So I'm not being taught the same thing twice. One is teaching me about a geir and one is teaching me about a mamza. Now, why do I need to be taught both? Surely the minute I say that a geir is kosher, so I'll say probably a mamza the same. Or if I'm taught that a mamza is kosher, then surely a geir is the same. Why do I need two separate statements saying that each one is kosher? Says the Gemara v'tzricha, yes, I do need to be taught this. Why? If I would only be taught that a geir is allowed to be a dayan for dine mamonos, do you know what I would say? Ah, geir, of course, a geir is much better. The ra'u lovoi bekahal, because he's eligible to join Klal Yisrael. A goy who converts becomes a geir. He now is perfectly eligible. He joins Klal Yisrael, can marry anybody who likes. Avol mamza emaloi. A mamza, however, as we know, cannot marry whoever he likes. It's asa for a Jew to marry a mamza. So we see that with regard to yichus, with regard to pedigree, a geir is considered higher up the tree than a mamza. So therefore, if I would have been taught that a geir is kosher, I would say, yeah, maybe only a geir, but who says mamza? What about the other way around? The yashmin on mamza, and if I would have been taught that a mamza is kosher, I'll say, well, actually, to a certain degree, a mamza is better than a geir. Why? The ba mitipok sheira. He comes, a mamza at least comes from kosher stock. It's true his parents were married, not married, or it was aroyas, but at least his parents were Jewish. So maybe that's his mile, maybe that's why he's allowed to be a dayan. But a mamza, but a ger, however, goy, deloy bo mitipok sheira. Where did the ger come from? He came from a goy. So maybe that's worse, emaloy. And therefore, tzricha, that's why I need to be taught that actually in both directions they're okay. But I would not have been able to learn necessarily one from the other. If I would have been taught geir, what would I have said? Ah, geir, yes, because a geir is kosher for the kohol. And if I would have been taught mamza, I'd say, ah, mamza, because he has Jewish parents. So that's why I need to be taught separately that both a geir and also a mamza are both perfectly kosher to be a dayan in the case of mamonos. Says the Gemara, let's try and finish this quickly. In conclusion, ve'ein hakoil ksheirin lodun dinei nefashos. Not everybody is kosher, as we've just said. Mamza is not kosher, ger is not kosher. My timer. The Tani Rabbi Yosef kashem she bezdin menukin betzedek kach menukin mikol mum. Just like a bezdin have to be completely clean, absolutely with justice, so too they have to be clean, free of any blemish in their pedigree. How do I know? Va'omar amema mikros. It's a pasuk in Shir Hashirim. Kuloch yofe rayosi umum einboch. Now, even though this pasuk is not referring to a bezdin, we're just using it as a mashal for bezdin. It says, kuloch yofe, you are all beautiful, my partner, umum einboch, and you do not have any mum. So we're using this as a reference to bezdin. Bezdin must not have any mum, any blemish in their pedigree. How do I know it means in their pedigree? Maybe it means no physical mum. V'dilma mum mamish. Maybe it means literally a dayan and a bezdin cannot have a broken leg. Like we know, for example, koyanim have these halachas. If the pasuk says, umum ein b'cho, how do I know it's a pedigree, lineage blemish? Maybe it's a physical blemish. Says the Gemara, no, Omar of Acha by Yaakov Omar Kro, v'hisyat zvu shom imcho. Imcho? Together with you means bedoimin lecha. They have to be similar to you. Similar to you is not referring to your physical features. Just like you come from good, solid, Jewish, kosher stock, so to the dayanim as well. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yosef, how do they explain this question? V'dilma hosa mishum shchina. Maybe there's different because we're referring to the shchina. What does that mean, Rabbi Yosef? Why are we referring to the shchina there?
The previous fossil is where were we? Note 19, sorry. In this section, Moshe was instructed by Hashem to appoint the it calls it the great Sanhedrin of 70 judges.
Right, Shivam is a king, yeah.
And hence, the requirements for any Sanhedrin judging capital cases are derived from the Sanhedrin of Moshe.
Right.
But the objection, which is, I think the Gemara is going to bring the objection actually in the next.
Yeah, the Gemara brings the objection about the Shekhinah. So what's the objection?
Well, because when the Moshe was appointing these 70 men, they were going to be aware of the Shekhinah. They were going to be stand with the Shekhinah.
So if they're going to stand with the Shekhinah, maybe there we have a special qualification that requires them to be of super duper pristine lineage. But how would you know even a regular Dayan? El Homer of Nachman Bayitzak Amakro V'nosu Itcho. What does it mean, V'nosu Itcho? Says the Gemara, Itcho B'doimin Lecho Lahava. They've got to be absolutely similar to you. So this is not because of the Shekhinah. Rather, it is a general instruction for Dayanim. They've got to be similar to you. In other words, in the case of Dinei Nefoshes, similar to you means of kosher pedigree, of good pedigree, and that's what rules out both a Ger Tzedek and a Mamza, as explained. Okay, Be'ez Hashem Yisbarach will begin next time, which will be tomorrow. The Mishnah, we're going to learn all the way to the next Mishnah, hopefully continue as well. It's not difficult anymore.
No Chazara?
Yeah, we'll see. Maybe we'll have time for Chazara afterwards, yeah.
Okay, Scott.
Okay, be well, cult.